USA Pro.
What's your favorite website?
Book Me. Oh, Screaming.
Or Fanatic.
And then Crowbar.
Where's the dot?
A Wonder Woman.
Where's the what?
Is it like a
this
dot?
Right here means Fun and Rabbit.
Ooh.
Yeah. Here.
Mine says one on it.
And USA Pro. And I love Donna. That's all I got.
What's your thought about the war in Iraq?
I think that USA! USA!
Oh,
USA!
What do you think about South Korean propaganda in the press?
When did you get a lip gloss?
You got me on that one. I'm sorry. I'm just a girl. I don't know.
I would just say to these idiots buying this DVD and waste their $20 on this garbage.
Dude, it's fucking not a waste because I'm going to show them the barbed wire match.
Yeah.
Cowboy Bobby Hayes. Yeah. And that's worth $20.
That's not a C-section?
Fuck no. Barbed wire match. Barbed wire match because I am hardcore like that.
Speaking of hardcore,
we'll see Daphne hopefully on June 18th.
Yeah, tell him to fucking book me again, goddamn.
Yeah, book him, John.
Speaking of hardcore, can I talk about Louis' girl?
Can I talk about Louis' girl for a minute?
Speaking of hardcore, can I talk about Louis' girl for a minute? You know, speaking of Wonder Woman, I wonder, is Louis' girl really a woman?
Why are you laughing? You know somebody?
No, I have no. I just love Anthony DeBlasi.
Speaking of screaming in Iraq.
Are you drunk, Kevin?
No. I just have a legit question. I don't want
to. That's why Carrie's on the side.
It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Ah, yes, the chest hair era. The chest hair, look! It's still there, it's just gray. It's just gray now. I'm screaming a little bit today. Happy birthday, Daphne, up in the heavens. Would have been, 47 years old today? It's amazing. It's almost a year already since what happened. And a lot of people out there who were close with her proclaimed July 17th to be Ice Cream Day. A little tribute to Daphne earlier today. You know, and it's so sad. It's so sad. I could post about Stack of Two commercials and get a couple of dozen likes. But I post something like this and I can't get no attention whatsoever. Bailey today paying a little tribute to Daphne Ice Cream Day. She made a donation from an organization I had never heard of before. It's called Beyond a Buddy Foundation. And it's located in California. And what it does is it gives service dogs, and they're trained to give to people who are dealing with mental illness, depression. And she made a little donation today. She ate a little bit of dessert because that is part of the agreement with Ice Cream Day. So I thought, you know what? I remember last year, we still got about 20 of the... Look, there's still a... We still got about 20 of these Daphne license plates brand new. So I said, hey, if anyone out there wants to make a little donation, you know, here's a couple of them. Actually, I think four of these are already called for. But if anybody wants to go to that website, it is, I think, beyondabuddy.org. I think that might be the website. Beyond the Buddy Foundation. If you donate at least $50, I'll send you a plate for nothing. I posted it like 2-3 hours ago. I think it's gotten 2 likes. I'm almost tempted to just take it off because it's just, you know, but I could plug about avocados, eating avocados for dinner. By now, I have 22 likes, so it's little weird what goes on these days. Daphne, we're all thinking about you. Much love. Hope you are having a blast up there. And I will see you one day. Just hopefully not anytime soon. I'm not leaving the premises just yet. But I can only imagine what she went through last year. And years before that as well. So, anyway, how's everybody doing tonight? It is Sunday night. It is the sit down. And we're going to be here for 60 minutes taking your questions, letting you vent about whatever you want to vent about in the world of pro wrestling and beyond. I am your mouthpiece. Anything you want to pick my brain about, by all means, in the chat room, if you're going to post a question, write question so I could see it quicker. If you have a comment, write comment. You know, if something you want me to repeat. Sometimes you all chat and it's not meant for me to be made publicly. But, you know, one that did come in. And this is a little bit time sensitive, so we might as well open up with this. We got this from Lascelles. Is it Lascelles or Lascelles? But Lascelles. Conrad is announcing Ric Flair's opponent for his last match on Monday, tomorrow. But they are teasing that it could be more than one person facing him. Who do I think it could be besides the obvious? All right. Boy, I think everybody and their mother thinks that Sting is the ideal opponent. If you notice, AEW has laid off on Sting doing a little bit of offense over the last couple of weeks. I think he is rested. I think he is ready to go. So I'm sticking with Sting. But, you know, yes, one fall. It's a great question because when I saw this come in, I actually read the announcement. And I got to give Conrad fucking credit. If it's only one person, I got to give him credit because none of us ever thought more than one person. Actually, I know we did have a conversation that, you know, maybe if Ric Flair's really spent and blown up, if there's two other people, kind of like when we talked about Becky, Ronda, Charlotte, all those times. So, but no one, including me, ever thought about realistically if it would be more than one person. That would be pretty interesting if it's more than one person. I think Sting has got to be. You look at what's going on. If you look at the card, AEW has no representation from what I saw on the card. So I think Sting being part of this immediately gives representation for AEW. And also it's one of Ric Flair's notorious and greatest opponents in his career. You know Sting, what he can do. So I think he would be an excellent choice. Now, as far as who it could be besides the obvious, man, I wish Undertaker could do a little bit more. I don't see him. Even though I do believe Undertaker may still have one good choreographed match left in his body, this is not it. I think to myself, Shawn Michaels, yeah, that Saudi Arabia match was horrendous. But Shawn Michaels, I bet you, on more lighter circumstances, Shawn Michaels could still go. But the thing is, you know, do you want this to feel like an old-timers match? Or do you want to hear five different times, you still got it, you still, take a shot every time you hear the fans chant, you still got it. Listen, I hope whatever goes down in this match, first of all, I hope there's no tragedy. Second of all, I hope that he still does have it for one more match. But Sting is really the only person. I thought about Tully Blanchard. Tully Blanchard really can't move as much as we think. I thought about the Rock and Roll Express. I think the Rock and Roll Express would be great. But other than them being all old and working NWA and different promotions together, I don't think there's really that distinct connection between the two. You know, of course they worked with each other back in the day, but that's not who you think of. If you play word association and I said Ric Flair, you'd come up with a ton of different names before the Rock and Roll Express. But I will say this, I believe you will have numerous people get involved. I think FTR might get involved. I think we'll have a couple of heels come out there and try to get involved. I think you'll probably have a few heels give the boot to Ric Flair. Just kick him while he's down, and you'll see wrestlers come in and make the save. Rock and Roll Express, FTR, who knows? You're going to see probably a couple of dirty heels, you know, from the indie circuit. You know, I think you're going to see a lot of people get involved in this match, not just one, not just two. I think the over and under of people getting involved in this match is six. And I really believe that. I really believe that. I think we're going to see a lot of people in that match. Thank you, Chaos. As always, everyone, if you're enjoying the show, hit that thumbs up. If you're not a subscriber yet, subscribe. If you know anyone else out there that might like the channel, let them know about it. So always room to grow. Always room to grow. All right. One Fall is asking if FTR, is FTR the most overrated tag team today? They are not overrated. They back it up. Are they the number one tag team today? No. No. With all due respect, like I said, if they were that great in AEW's eyes, how come AEW don't put their own tag titles on them? The Ring of Honor belts, I'm no diss on Ring of Honor. They have done one event since April 1st, or the beginning of April, and that event is coming up this weekend, a week from today, or the next weekend. So, you know, that promotion is not back. All right, anybody could buy a promotion who was on hiatus, put the title belts on their shows, you know, to have the wrestlers who are not inked to just an exclusive deal could work the indie circuit. Hey, bring the belt with you. Extra $100, I'll defend the title on the show. Anybody could do that shit. Anybody could do that shit. When I see Ring of Honor back to house shows, back to, you know, not even TV, till I see that next step, it is a dead promotion with smoke and mirrors. The IWGP tag belts, you know, that's to give a little bit of American rub. But, you know, FTR is one. Let me make this clear. FTR is in the top five of tag teams today. 2 years ago, when they won Tag Team of the Year, they earned it. They deserved it. They are old school. They are great. All right. Are they the best tag? You know, I disagree. I disagree. You know, them versus the Briscoes, they're going to tear it up. But they are not the number one tag team. If you look at the overall, you know, it's not just, look, I've said this before, off-Broadway stars can be more talented than Broadway stars. But the difference is Broadway may attract 5,000 people and off-Broadway may attract 500. So when FTR could sell, you know, with a card surrounding them, when they could sell, you know, a huge number of tickets, then, you know, on a consistent basis, not just one event. So they are definitely top five. But are they number one? I don't say so. I don't say so. Again, AEW, why won't you put the tag belts on them? Seriously, why can't you put the Ring of Honor tag belts on Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland and put the AEW tag belts on FTR? You know, why? Because Ring of Honor has this aura about them that Keith Lee does not fit. Are you kidding me? AEW, here's a piece of advice. Make the AEW belts feel like the most important belts around. Which tag team is more important for AEW right now? Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee, that there's been a storyline where they may split up, or FTR? When you got people chanting FTR on every show and FTR doesn't come out, I think you're probably making a mistake saying, you know, I think FTR is probably a little more valuable in the tag team division. Not saying that Swerve Scott and Keith Lee, I loved the title change. But again, you know, you look at very closely of what AEW is doing with FTR. Do you want FTR headlining AEW All Out, or you want FTR headlining a pay-per-view for a company that is still on the shelf? And if people say to me, oh, well, them and the Briscoes, two out of three falls, oh, why couldn't that be done in AEW? Why? Why? Does All Out air on TBS? No. Is it air on TNT? No. If the Briscoes cannot come in because of the network, just come out and say it. Just come out and say it. Clear the fucking air. Nobody at the network is going to be pissed off about it. Clear the fucking air. All right. Let's get back to questions. Because we're already about 15 minutes in. Love the shirt. Yes, you could still buy the shirt. You could still buy the shirt paying tribute to Daphne. And again, if you want to make a little contribution, I'll be more than happy to send you one of these Lysa plates that's still new with the tissue paper. I have, I think, 19. And tonight, two people DM'd me who made a contribution. So, Eric Williams, why didn't Homicide get his just due in AEW? Same reason why Eric Redbeard did not get his due in AEW. Same reason why John Morrison is not getting his due. They're bringing in, look, when you are not getting a large demand for your services, whether you're a veteran or you're a younger guy, you tend to accept something like this with AEW for a quick payday, little exposure, show the wrestling world you still have it if you're older. So you see Eric Redbeard, you see Homicide, you see others come in, and it's more about just hot-shotting a name. And I'm not against it. You know, people, when I used to be hardcore into ECW, you'd see somebody come in for a cup of coffee, Dr. Death, Steve Williams, God rest his soul, Terry Bam Bam Gordy, God rest his soul, you know, and a few others. Some wrestlers came in, and then WCW would snatch them up, and then later on WWE would promote people to the main roster. Look, remember, Terry Gordy went to WWE, what was he, the masked executioner? We never even got to see his fucking head, his face. So Homicide, you know, one of the top talents in wrestling, you know, homeboy from my neck of the woods. I had the privilege of managing him one match. And I'm sure he doesn't remember. Shit, I was in the same wedding party as him for Louis. Much love to Louis. I hope he is doing well. I heard he's doing well. But, you know, you look closely with AEW, you could figure out who are Tony Khan's darlings and who are just more smoke and mirrors. When Homicide appeared in New York, I loved it. We all called for that. We said, put Homicide on the card, and we got it. After that, nothing. And I even think that night, I said, I bet you it's one-shot dealing out, you know. Look at the Jay White stuff. Look how long he's been in Impact Wrestling over the last year or so. You know, somebody showed it was the anniversary yesterday when he appeared in Impact a year ago, and they did nothing with it. You know, they tease certain people and then it goes away. You know, all right. Chaos, what's going on, brother? Thoughts and memories on the 88 Bruiser Brody murder by Jose Gonzalez happened today in 1988. I remember watching TV. I think it was Entertainment Tonight. Was one of those entertainment shows, and it said, you know, local or pro wrestler murdered in Puerto Rico. I think it was the day before. I was like, what? And then it was Bruiser Brody. Now, if anybody goes on Wayback Machine, it goes, checks out my website when I first debuted it 23 years ago, 1999. First graphic on the top was Bruiser Brody. I had superstar Billy Graham up there, Ric Flair. I don't remember who else, but Bruiser Brody was always up there. I loved Bruiser Brody. Always fantasized Bruiser Brody in ECW. Over the years, when ECW was around, over the years on my hotline, when people say to me, you could have one guy in ECW that is no longer with us, who would you choose? And I always said the same answer, Bruiser Brody. That motherfucker would have done an ECW. I think he would have been the god of ECW looking back on it. It was horrible. It's a tragedy. You know, I've watched all the shoot interviews over the years from Tony Atlas to everyone else. And, you know, look, that shit is crazy. And then you see how things, this is why, man, we were joking earlier today about Michael Elgin. We'll talk about it tomorrow, but he got arrested in Japan for stealing protein powder. Now, here in the United States, especially in New York, he would have been let go an hour later and back on the street like nothing. Now he may have lost his entire wrestling career in Japan because the motherfucker stole protein powder. I mean, how do you steal protein powder? Yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow because I have a few things to say about that. But and I'm trying to get some more information. But the point is, you go to another country, man. Look at that basketball player in Russia. I mean, sure, she should not have brought, you know, was it weed or whatever she brought? But, you know, other countries, shit is corrupt in a lot of countries, especially you go back to the 70s and 80s. Man, it's scary shit. It's scary shit. That, what happened with Bruiser Brody and what happened afterwards when they're like rushing people to the airport, get out of the country. It's like a bad episode of Miami Vice. Horrible tragedy. And it just goes to show you, you know, you get into a fight with someone, you got a lot of adrenaline going, especially if someone is drinking a little bit and there's a weapon nearby. You know, it's just crazy the way shit could happen. So sometimes a little tiny little thing could escalate into murder. So, you know, horrible. Gave me chills at that time. I mean, over the years, there's been a couple of deaths that, you know, you remember that chill in your spine. And you remember when it happens multiple times, one after the other. That kind of blew me away in 88. But it was not on my radar because, understand, I'm from the Northeast. I'm from New York my whole life. We didn't have internet at that time. You know, Bruiser Brody, I only knew of him from the magazines, a little bit of AWA, a little bit of, I think, Florida, but mostly it was magazines. You know, and then later on, you know, in the early 90s, I was able to tape trade and see a whole bunch of shit that I only fantasized from the magazines. So he was not on my radar as much as he should have been, but that's because, think of the time, 88. So, all right, my all-time favorite wrestling debut, Chris Jericho, Raw, 1999. This past Wednesday was the 23-year anniversary of... Oh, no, it was the 23-year anniversary of the beginning of the countdown. When we had that first countdown clock on Raw. That's what the anniversary was Wednesday. Jericho's WWE debut, still my all-time favorite. I have said there's some moments in wrestling that I don't want to watch the video. I literally want to close my eyes, listen to the audio, and just picture the crowd. We talked about it recently with Gordon Solie and Bobby Heenan calling that Terry Funk, Tully Blanchard match for WCW and hearing the ECW chants. And if you listen to that match without watching it, you will convince yourself you're in the ECW arena. And it's surreal to get that feeling. Jericho's Raw debut, favorite moment, period. Kevin Milwaukee thought of a new nickname, Audio Castagnoli. I like it. The problem is I sometimes can't even spell Castagnoli. That's why I don't even like JD Jordan Devlin's new name, McDonough. I think it's MCDONAGH. And the only reason why I know that is because I have convinced myself that after the Mick, like McDonald's, I think of McDonald's, McDonough. And Dunna, I convinced myself it's only six letters after the MC. But I was writing U's in it, and I realize I'm writing shit wrong. Castagnoli, I would just, you know, I'm surprised they didn't come up with some different name somewhere. So, McDonough. See? Yes, you got it right. MCDONAGH. You just forget about the MC and just remember it's six letters and you'll get it right. It's the only way I could remember. So, JD McDonald's, yeah. Oh, Marvin, if Bruiser Brody was in ECW, he would have feuded with everybody. He would have feuded with Terry Funk, Raven, right off the bat. I could see Tommy Dreamer getting the shit knocked out of him from Bruiser Brody. I think we would have had Cactus Jack for a little while. I mean, every single one of those matches would have been amazing. Amazing. Rocky Red is in the house. This past Wednesday was the 45th anniversary of the New York City blackout. Do I remember what I was doing? Do I remember memories? You know, I have tons of footage from that blackout. In fact, I don't talk to Kev Castle much, and I know people keep asking about the Killer Cross thing. I don't know if he's on board with it anymore, Kevin. There's been no discussion with that whatsoever. I mean, even if it doesn't happen, I'm going to still be interviewing Killer Cross later this year in conjunction with Pro Wrestling TV and at the minimum. So that's still happening. But back in the day, I sent him two DVDs, custom DVDs of the whole blackout, the 1977 blackout. I don't remember it. I was too young. Only thing I do remember from it is I remember once we saw the footage later on, years later, they had news coverage and they were in New York City. And if you go on YouTube, there is coverage. If you go on YouTube and just type in 1977 New York City blackout, if you follow the Karen white privilege mentality, oh, just go search the footage. It is sick because you got to watch the ABC footage and you got to watch the Channel 11 Alive footage. The reason why I tell you is that these are my two memories of the blackout years later. Number one, they were filming people in restaurants in New York City. Every person is a posh, high-profile white person. And look, you know, the white privilege stuff is over-exaggerated. You know, people want to label everybody. I don't believe in that shit. But if you watch this video, you can't help but be like, look at these rich motherfuckers. They're like, oh, we're going to just drink wine, and we're going to just sit this out, and we're going to just have a great time. And I'm like, you know, I just said to my, when I watch it, I'm like, I hope you had to walk across the Verrazano Bridge or the 59th Street Bridge. I hope you had to fucking walk for miles, you fucking posh, rich bitches. Every single one. And then the 11 Alive footage, they decide to record the Bronx. And all you see is footage, looting, people walking out with TVs, refrigerators. This is the 70s. You know, so the TVs at that time weren't the slim little TVs that you could hold with a pinky. They had these giant tubes. You hear gunshots. Tale of two networks. ABC is recording rich bitches in New York City, and Channel 11 is recording all the people from the hood stealing. And they even had a story where a couple of people were protecting the deli and they all had guns and they're like daring people to try to rob the deli. It was crazy shit, man. Yeah, that was the summer of David Berkowitz as well. Summer of Sam, sure. I asked my mom about Son of Sam about a couple of months ago. I said, you know, was she nervous at that time? And she was like, no. She's like, I didn't go out. Your father didn't take me anywhere. So, all right. Shout out to Miss Segovia, Mr. Segovia, the twins hanging out. VJ, did I watch the WWE Legends biography on Undertaker? Yes. They did leave out some moments, some parts of the feuds. I liked it. The thing is, in my honest opinion, these contemporary biographies are more for the younger wrestling fans who never really watched the ones from yesteryear. I'll always watch them, and I'll always enjoy them, and I like a little bit more the behind-the-scenes stuff, but for the most part, it just felt like, you know, I was getting a refresher course on The Undertaker. Definitely worth checking out. If you have not watched the biography yet of Undertaker that came out, it is definitely a must-see. There are some videos, even if you learn nothing from it, you still enjoy it. I watched the other day a documentary on the 86 Mets, and 99% of what they covered, I already knew. But it was still cool to see that even this day, people still care enough to want to cover it. So Toto Dope is in the house. What's going on? What's going on? Speaking of dope, I got some dope footage for all of you. I know it's a horrible segue, but it's only 2 minutes long, and I'm going to share it tonight. So last week I told you all a funny story about me picking up a 94-year-old stranger. That is a screenshot from it. It looks like a bad reality show. You know, like guys in a, and the weird thing about it is we both have a purple shirt on. My fiance said, that's you in about 40 years, a little more than 40 years. She's like, that's you. Now, for anybody out there that remember the Captain Lenny stuff, if you've ever seen a screenshot of what Captain Lenny looks like, this motherfucker looked like Captain Lenny and he sounded like Captain Lenny. If you look, he kind of looks like Vern Gagne when he had dementia and he tried to kill someone. If you look at Vern Gagne right before he passed, God rest his soul, he had the Vern Gagne glasses. But we're both wearing purple. And, you know, when I recorded the footage, you know, somebody was trying to challenge me, like, how come the clock says 1999? Any of you out there ever program your dash cam? I never fucking program my dash cam. But now you'll actually hear in the background the radio talking about events coming up in 2 weeks. So you'll hear that this just happened. But I got the video. Yeah, Elgin is facing 5 years in prison. Yeah, I'm going to get into it tomorrow. That is just... He's not going to get any jail time, but we'll talk about that tomorrow. But that's just, someone told me what they heard happened. I don't want to give it away. I'm not trying to like save shit for tomorrow, but it's definitely something that's worth doing a segment over. Yeah. All right. And when I explain it, you'll realize how many times you and I may have had like issues in retail outlets where you just want to walk out of the fucking store without paying. And it's considered it. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. But all right. So anyway, this video is only 3 minutes long. Now I'm showing it tonight instead of tomorrow because YouTube is probably going to demonetize this episode. And honestly, if you notice, other than a commercial at the beginning of the show, I don't put commercials during the show. Yeah, I had someone, I brought this up last week, I had someone who thought he was a wise-ass funny saying like, oh, DT only makes, you know, less than $100 in ad revenue on YouTube. I'm like, yeah, because I don't have commercials. If anybody want commercials every 15 minutes, I'll do it. I'll do it. But I try to make the stream as fun as possible. But if I lose $3, I think this is worth it. So if you want to see the footage of what happened with me picking up this 94-year-old. I'm going to show it to you now. Just think about Captain Lenny while you're watching this. That's why it's kind of surreal. If you listen to the guy and then pay attention to the speed bump. Pay attention to the music. Oh, that's the picture. How's about the video, DT? Okay, here you go. All right. Play by play.
In Tampa, right? So it gets round trip air for two. A couple nights hotel stay. Two.
I'm not frozen.
Tickets,
is it a red light?
August 6th, and you also get a merch bundle with this as well. And if you want.
Now
to,
my dash cam has two cameras. It's got one that faces me, and it's got one that faces the other way. That's why when you see it, you'll see. Oh. I'm dancing. And there's no camera. Watch. Now watch. Hey, you'll see him pull up right now. There he is.
I can't walk no more. But you could take me on 156 and 77.
It's what, Captain Lenny, here? Man.
Yeah, no problem.
It's oh. Captain Lenny. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
no problem.
No good. My grandmother, no, my granddaughter.
All right.
She died this morning.
Oh, wow.
Trying to call up everyone.
DT, yeah. Could you be a little bit more colder?
They all left. They don't know about it.
Yeah, just close the door. Cause
I'm like, get in the fucking car ready.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Look, he's wearing the same shirt as me.
All right, this way, right?
Yeah. That's my future, everybody. That's going to be me. Here's the speed bump alert. Speed bump. Watch.
Oh. Sorry. That bump. this way?
Straight.
Some people are like, DT, how do you just pick up a stranger like that? Look, I beeped someone, too. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
And nobody's home over here. I'm trying to make phone calls.
Yeah, I hear you. It's all right. It's right up here.
Just park it for me.
Up here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Right here, I'll do.
Across? Over here?
Yeah.
Okay, let me turn around.
That was nice. It turned around.
Thank you, God.
No,
bless
no
you.
Problem.
I'm looking around, make sure I'm not getting set up by any
you.
Crooks.
I hear you. Okay.
Yeah, I don't wear seatbelts.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Okay.
God bless you and your family.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay. Let me get out.
I'm like,
no, take your time. Take your time.
I'm like, the haters are going to love this video.
Oh.
I tell you, it's Captain Lenny.
All Thank right. You. You're welcome. Take care.
All right. Okay. You too.
I'm like, shh, I'm not getting set up here. That's it. There you go. So that happened last week. You know, Naya was so on point, that didn't think about it at first. She's like, imagine how many people who just drove by that guy, never even stopped. The funny thing is, and if I play the extended video, you'll hear me say it afterwards. Because I thought about it and I said, yeah, I'll probably end up showing the footage. Because it doesn't hurt to be kind a little bit. But I said, if that was a 20-year-old, piece of ass wearing like a bikini or short shorts. And she's like, hey, baby, can you give me a ride home? I probably would have been like, yeah, just let me just go around the corner and get gas first. But there's no gas there. Fuck you. I would have left. I wouldn't have trusted it. It would have been like a Lifetime movie. So if he would have been a 20-year-old hot piece of ass, I probably wouldn't have stopped. So, yeah, so there's the footage. If everybody wants to see it, so. All right, let's get back to questions, because that's what this show is all about. Oh, I'm going to share something with you. I don't know if you saw it. I posted it tonight, and I figured you'd get no response because people try to make it political. You know, we heard about Ivana Trump passing away. She died in a fall, you know. And yes, look, we don't talk about Donald Trump on these shows anymore. You know, I used to be a huge Trump supporter. I did not vote for him a couple of years ago. I don't like politics anymore. I hate politics. But Ivana Trump, you know, I don't think people should, you know, demonize her because of, you know, her marriage to him in the past and everything. But, you know, I've always said over the years that my father was close with his family. You know, he knew Trump's father, Fred. And my father has been at functions with them in the past. My father got an invitation to go to Ivana Trump's funeral. And the funny thing is, if you go online, you cannot find this anywhere. That's why I put my logo in the background, because I don't want anybody just to copy it and screenshot it. But there you go. Look, that's the invitation that my father got to go to Ivana Trump's funeral. Non-transferable, by the way. So the church is like, I think, four blocks away from Trump Tower. So, yeah, that is the actual invite for her funeral. My father's going on Wednesday. So he actually got the invite. So, yeah, just figured I'd share with you. Some of you would want to go check it out. Look, man, you know, like I said, it's not about politics. You know, what a horrible way to pass. And at the same time, what a beautiful photo. Seriously, you know, fun times, skiing. I saw all these people with these conspiracy theories online, like, how could she fall down a flight of stairs? She was an avid skier. Motherfucker, she's in her 70s now. You know, what do you think? She could still move around like Aubrey Edwards? You know, like when Aubrey acts like she's surfing? You get older. You know, you do lose a few steps. I don't think there's anything controversial. It's just an awful accident. And I have said so many times on these shows over the years that you could slip, break a hip, and just die. And it happened to Scott Hall. That was crazy shit. Because I can't tell you of feedback from Scott Hall's passing. That's the one thing that I got in email after email. DT, I can't believe how many times you said over the years that you could just simply fall, break a hip, and die from it. And you see what happened with Scott Hall. So... T. Smitty, What's going on? Do I believe AEW could run house shows so the younger wrestlers could get more reps? Yes, I agree. AEW absolutely could do house shows. I know this is going to sound a little weird, everybody, but it seems like Tony Khan is only concerned about pay-per-view revenue and TV ratings. That's it. I don't think he wants to blow his loads on house shows because house shows ain't going to trigger ratings. House shows are not going to trigger pay-per-view buys. Yeah, you'll get Meltzer and someone to say, AEW had a house show in Nashville, Tennessee, drew 5,000 people. Wow, that's fucking awesome. When you're this is funny. When you are a crazy, crazy billionaire, where $10 million is like chump change to you, think about this for a minute. If they're worth $10 billion, let's pretend that we're worth a million. Let's say we got a million in a bank. Think about that. $1 billion is 1,000 millions. If we had, you and I, any of us, anybody tune in, if you had $1 million in a bank right now, think about this. They have 10,000 millions. So now if you have $1 million and you lose it, now they have 10,000 of them. So if we have a million and they have 10,000 of them, that means if we had 100,000 instead of a million, they would still have, you see the amounts we're talking about here? So if they lose $1 million, they're like, oh, that's no big deal. We have 10,000 of them still. Even if they lose 1,000 millions, which is $1 billion, you see how small. So if they make 200,000-300,000 on a house show, it's a privately owned company. Is that really going to make an impact on the bottom line? Not really. You see the amount of work that's involved? Understand something. This is where I think AEW has a problem. You look at the people who work behind the scenes. Would they want to work even more producing house shows, paying all that transportation, and if everybody's got to pay their own way, doing the legwork, setting up the building, setting this up, buying this, setting it. They have a lot of people doing two and three jobs there. Aubrey Edwards, she gets more than one check. The Young Bucks, they get more than one check. Kenny Omega right now is only getting one check. Everybody that works behind the scenes, a lot of them are getting two checks as wrestlers in his office. So now you do house shows. What do? You go to them and say, hey, we want to start doing house shows. So we got to start working and doing house shows. You think those people for those contracts, I ain't fucking doing house shows. I have to do this shit for Dynamite and Rampage every week. Now you want me to do fucking extra show too? Who's going to do that? So you realize quickly why you're not getting house shows. Nobody thinks about that. They just think, oh, AEW can make tons of money in the house shows. Yeah, and who's going to do the work? Who's going to do the work? You going to get street team members to do it? Rams fan, what's up? Next month is 20 years since Shawn Michaels' return versus Triple H's SummerSlam. My thoughts blew me away when it happened because at that time I thought Shawn Michaels was done. Lost his smile, fucked up his back, whatever people were trying to say. I honestly thought the chances of him coming back and having that level of a career, always thought he would come back. Never thought that he would be even better. I watched, he did a match, I think, with TWA. Was that the promotion? I can't remember, but it was a promotion he was involved in. I remember he came back and did like a street fight, and he was wearing cowboy boots and jeans and everything. I was like, oh, he looks pretty good, you know, but street fights are street fights. Can he do what he did before? And to me, when he came back, he was even better and blew me away. That's why I always consider, when people say to me, Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart? Bret Hart was, you know, the consummate professional, and Bret Hart may have been just a little bit crisper in the ring, but as an overall performer, Shawn Michaels blows away Bret Hart. When you realize Shawn Michaels had two careers and did what he did, you look at the overall scope of it, even the biggest detractors of Shawn Michaels would have to admit Shawn Michaels that much more than Bret Hart. And I'm a huge Bret Hart fan. All right. Yesterday I went to an engagement party. People were laughing at this picture. I told my fiance, pose for the picture. And she's like, could you just let me eat, please? So, yeah, that was from yesterday. You know what was cool about it? I joked yesterday morning because we did the Don Tony show. We did Breakfast with Blasi edition. Everybody loved it. I didn't realize you were missing that retro that much. So we're bringing it back again. The only question is, do we do Saturday morning next week or do we do Saturday night? So I will post a poll either tonight or Monday in the community section. You'll get a vote if you want next week, next Saturday, to be in the morning or the nighttime. Majority voting wins. So if it's morning, it'll be Breakfast with Blasi. If it's nighttime, it'll be the Don Tony show. I did not drink an ounce yesterday. I was just having fun. I was very happy I didn't have to wear a suit. Because yesterday morning, I was like, shit, I hope those dryer sheets work because I didn't even iron my suit. I didn't bring it to the dry cleaners. My mom told me like 2 hours before we had to leave. She's like, you don't have to wear a suit. It's in like an American Legion hall. I'm like, could I wear jeans and a polo shirt? She's like, yeah, go ahead. I'm like, thank you. I went for my tux today. I actually rented my tux today. And, you know, it's starting to hit me a little bit. September 3rd is right around the corner. Yesterday, I ordered my wedding favors, and I ordered some extras. So I might give away a couple here on the shows. If anybody, I'm not trying to get anybody to send any gifts, but I know a few people are. So I will probably send those people a favor also. So a favor. I don't want to tell you what they are, though. Gruss is asking me, best wrestler, Kurt Angle, Bret Hart, Bryan Danielson, or Shawn Michaels? As far as technical wrestler goes, Bret Hart. Bret Hart. I don't put technical wrestler and high flyer in the same category. As far as their arsenal, Bryan Danielson probably has the deepest arsenal of them all. Plus, Bryan Danielson counters like no other. Kurt Angle was tremendous. But Kurt Angle, if you go back and you watch his matches, Kurt Angle was not the master of the counter. You know, the only counter that people always ooh and ah about is when somebody climbs the turnbuckle and then he leaps like a cat onto the turnbuckle and does the suplex or the belly to back. So overall, arsenal, Bryan Danielson. As far as technical wrestler goes, Bret Hart. Kurt Angle, one of the greatest. Shawn Michaels just had it all. Shout out to Mohammed Belsine. I hope I pronounced that right. Belsine. Hope you're doing well. Am I getting cold feet, John? Nope. I will tell you this much. I can't reveal the song, but I found a wedding song that my DJ recommended to me. He knows that we're dating for 10 years. Not me and the DJ, but me and her. He's like, I got the perfect song. It's from the 70s. He's like, when you listen to the song, I knew this song already, but it never was on my radar. He says, when you listen to the song, I want you to read the lyrics. Tell me what you think. I listened to it last week and in the privacy of my own home by myself, and I was like this. I was bawling, crying. I'm like, if I do this on the dance floor, I'm going to lose it because, you know, I'm hearing about, you know, her dress alone. Everybody keeps telling me, you're going to cry like a baby when you see her. So I'm like, I got to do this song. So for the last 2 weeks, I've been telling her, the DJ picked out the perfect song for us. She's like, I don't want anybody to pick out her. I want us to pick out a song. So tonight, I got enough balls to play the song for her. I went into this room to set up the show. I couldn't be in the same room with her because if I got teary-eyed, I didn't want her to see it. But every word was powerful. I can't say the name of the song, though, because then people will be teasing me with this song for the rest of my life. I still get teased about Don Johnson singing. So, but anyway, I played it for her. She's like, I don't like it. It's like, I have no connection with it whatsoever. It's like, I want Mark Anthony. So I'm like, all right, whatever. And then I thought about it. I'm like, oh, thank God. Because at least if I'm having my first dance, Mark Anthony's playing, I'm going to be like, I just want to get laid afterwards, you know? Like, but if it would have been this other song, I would have melted. So I'm like kind of like thankful that the song is not going to be. So I will lose it when my parents dance. I will definitely lose it. Definitely. Definitely. All right, let's get back to the wrestling questions because we only have about 10 minutes left. Yeah, the hour flies by super, super fast. So we want to keep these tight because last week, I'm not trying to be lazy by jetting after an hour, but I will tell you honestly, I get a lot of email feedback. Some people don't like to publish it publicly because haters will just poke insults their way. Oh, you're a DT dick sucker and all this stuff. You got to see. You don't have any idea how many comments I delete as soon as they pop up because some people can be really nasty at some of you just for showing love and support. But on the emails, people are like, wow, that hour flew so fucking fast and every question was spot on. So I don't want it to become a show where you have to enjoy it in pieces. So that's why an hour we're out of here. But tomorrow we'll be right back here for the Raw recap, and we'll talk about Elgin's arrest and a few other things. All right. How should WCW end a Goldberg streak in the 90s? I don't know. It is very hard to say. It definitely should not have ended the way it did with Nash and Scott Hall with the fucking the stick that, you know, the zap stick or whatever. Oh, my God. That was awful. I don't know. I mean, it's you go back at that time. I tell you the truth. If I knew WCW was going out of business in 2001, I would argue that maybe Goldberg would have finished WCW in 01 undefeated. Seriously. Just I could only imagine, like, the first wrestler in wrestling history that had, like, more than a couple of matches, but survived the entire promotion. Like, never lost for a promotion. You would think only Andre the Giant would be in that territory. Some people make the argument for DDP. DDP, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I could have saw Paige. I could have saw Bret Hart. But still, it's just, you know, people that look at Goldberg now, they hate him because they feel that he's coming back just for paydays. The streak with the Fiend, you know, with a match with the Fiend, excuse me. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people today dislike Goldberg. But, you know, if you were not around, honestly, and I'm not saying like, oh, I was and you weren't, but if you were not around during Goldberg in real time, you'll never understand the phenomenon, the feeling. I mean, his matches would last 45 seconds. And honestly, I started my hotline in 97. And I could honestly say sincerely, for every person that would say, oh, Goldberg, same fucking matches every time, same shit, spear, jackhammer, done. For every one person that would say that, there would be 99 that'd say the fucking guy's amazing, Austin. I want to see him kick Steve Austin's ass. There was just a phenomenon about Goldberg that you can't understand. You can't explain it. You can't explain it. Let me tell you something. Looking back on it, I love what William Regal did to him. Steven Regal at the time. But at that time, when we heard about it, we wanted Steven Regal to get his ass kicked. But years later, I appreciate why things went down the way they did. Goldberg was a phenomenon you can't explain, man. Oh, yeah, there were a lot of people jealous of Goldberg at that time, sure. You know, you had a former football player, Atlanta Falcons, you know, came into wrestling, was not a wrestling fan. I'm not saying that Kevin Nash was a wrestling fan or not growing up, but, you know, you see this guy coming in, having 45-second matches and the crowd is losing their shit. I mean, you see him give a spear. He could give a spear to just a local jobber and people would jump out of their seats. You know, and plus Goldberg's reaction to the fans, that adrenaline felt like a guy that was just really pumped up into it. And it's just something I go back and I think about it. Look, I still have Goldberg shit on my desk. Look, I still got the candy from 1998, the Goldberg candy. It's still sealed. I still think that's Steve Austin, though. I think whoever made it. So, yeah, I don't know if we'll ever see another Goldberg. I don't think we'll ever see another Goldberg. Hulk Hogan or Hollywood Hogan? For me, it'll always be Hulk Hogan because of growing up a Hulkamaniac before all the controversial stuff. By the way, when I go on my honeymoon in September, we are going to take the drive to Hogan's store and maybe I'll get lucky and maybe he'll be there. And then I could finally say in person, I'm like, come on, I gave Jimmy, someone who gave Jimmy Hart to give to you a 5-page letter. I poured it out and I even showed screenshots of my grandmother hugging a Hulk Hogan cutout on a cruise ship in 1986. And you fucking don't unblock me, you prick. Maybe if I buy some merch, maybe he'll unblock me. But yeah, no, I am going to his beach shop. Definitely going to go to his beach shop. Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm going to bring a selfie stick. I don't want to be one of those assholes with a selfie stick and it'd be like, hey, Hogan, what the fuck is wrong with you? You said that you wanted a second chance. Well, I fucking apologize to you, and you didn't give me a second. But a selfie stick, doing a selfie. No. All right. I think one more question. Let's get out of here. Twix, I'm going to look at the Chelsea. I almost said Chelsea Clinton. The Chelsea Green Mickey James clips. I'll watch it tonight before I go to bed. Maybe I'll rip my shirt off. The most you'll ever see is this. By the way, if you look at back at the Daphne video, this is the same chain. I have this chain for like 25 years. It's got a lot of weight to it. That's why I don't want to sell it. I almost sold it like 10, 15 years ago. Old school stuff with Don Knotts, the ghost of Mr. Che, I definitely have seen it and I don't remember it. I used to watch tons of old school stuff from the 50s and the 60s. I used to watch it with my mom, but I honestly don't remember much of it at all. Why wasn't Rick Rude world champion in WWF? Because of the Hulk Hogan stranglehold. And then the Ultimate Warrior came in, and, you know, that was superhero larger than life. Rick Rude is in the same category as King Kong Bundy, the same category as Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, the same category as every foe that these superheroes in Hogan and Warrior would face. I would have loved Rick Rude. If there was a Ring of Honor around in the 80s, Rick Rude would have been the perfect Ring of Honor heavyweight champion. If AEW was in the 80s, he would have been the perfect AEW heavyweight champion. In WWE 4, you were only going to go so far. IC champ was as far as he was going to go. We all knew that. We all knew that. That's why back then we never, ever, 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 ever said, oh, Roddy Piper should be heavyweight champion. We never, ever, ever said that Snuka should have been heavyweight champion. A lot of those guys, we knew exactly where their ceiling was, and we just enjoyed it. All right. I'm going to jet out of here. So, am I taking time off after the wedding? Believe it or not, I might come up here the next day. I might come up because the next day is a Sunday. And Sundays, you see, we have a very easy show. So I might come up here, show you a couple of pictures, talk a little wrestling. It's only an hour, so that's probably what we'll do. But the week of the 10th, I will be out. I will be on vacation from September 10th to September 18th. So no shows during the time. Maybe I'll stream from the hotel room, maybe one or two nights, just say hello to everyone and see how everybody's doing. But as far as me doing wrestling shows that week, maybe I'll record like a Q&A and something beforehand and we'll stream it while I'm away. But other than that, you know, I will definitely be on vacation. So, yeah, so join me tomorrow night, 11:05 p.m. after Raw. Yeah, we have The Miz TV with Logan Paul. There's going to be another teaser with Edge. And the week after is the 20-year anniversary of Rey Mysterio's debut in WWE. So will Edge, if you look at the teaser for tomorrow's show I'm doing, will Edge possibly align with Rey Mysterio to take out Judgment Day at SummerSlam? It is a possibility. And we're going to talk also, Clash at the Castle has sold 60,000 tickets. 60,000. You know something big is going down at Clash at the Castle. Is it Drew McIntyre winning the championship? Too early to tell, but I think there is a good possibility of that happening. We'll talk about Elgin tomorrow and that fiasco. What an idiot, seriously. It just, I don't care if he didn't do an Emma. People think, oh, I just forgot to pay it. You know, Emma had a little fucking iPhone case. An iPhone case that was like the size of this. Oh, did I forget to pay for that? When you buy protein powder, it doesn't come in a vial like crack. It comes in a thing like this. So, but understand one thing before we go. This happened in Japan. We don't have Chin Ming Hua, you know, like sitting on the sidelines DMing me like, hey, DT, you got to hear this. You will not believe what Elgin did in Japan. I don't have anybody like that. So I don't have Mishi Kwan, you know, on the sidelines giving me the details. I have a friend of a friend of a friend that is like, hey, I talked to Elgin and, you know there's a... So we don't know the exact story. I'm trying to get it. So... All right, everyone, much love. Have a great night. And, post your feedback for tonight. If there's any question that you wanted to ask that I didn't answer tonight, you got two choices. You could either post it in the comment section, and I will be posting comments. I was doing some right before we went live. I'll do some before I go to sleep tonight, so you'll see comments posted. Either do it there, or you could email me, dontony@dontony.com, because next Thursday we're going to do the next Q&A. The one we did this Thursday was beautiful. Pre-recorded, a lot of questions emailed, got into everybody's great topics of conversation. So, you know, we keep it nice and tight, and it really makes things stand out that much more. So, everyone, enjoy the rest of your Sunday night. Much love as always, and much love, Daphne. Much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.